Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network. Mike McNamara in for a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. And on the eve of October 23rd, which is the day that the Marine Barracks in Beirut was blown up, Will Costantini pointed out last night when we recorded the Hour 2 segment today, the single greatest casualty producing event since World War II, I guess, which should not be a surprise. Got a call yesterday and hopefully headed to Quantico to do post-traumatic winning in the next couple weeks. So exciting stuff about that. A little bit different in the COVID thing, because you can't pack people into a theater, so you got to wind up staying longer and doing it more times, which which is fine. Didn't bother me. I mean, they're great experiences. So excited to do that. So anyway, going to be doing hopefully post-traumatic winning a lot here in the next couple months, starting the first week of November, head back to Quantico, the third week of November down at Camp Pendleton with 7th Engineer Support Battalion, the end of the first week of November, I think 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines. And units trying to find days where they can get, you know, a company or two companies through and things like that. So working with people to do that. And so let's see, where else am I going to be? So Quantico and then down at Miramar in December. So if you want to come and you're in those areas, by all means, shoot me a note and I will make sure that you can get in. And, my daughter printing stuff during the middle of my show. That's nice. Right. It's what happens when you get up at like 7:55 for 8 o'clock school. So we'll have a conversation about that here after this is all over. Yeah, unbelievable, right? So anyway, yeah. Young and Dumb. The yeah, so no, exciting, exciting. No, I had a great conversation. Had a couple great conversations with people yesterday. Sergeant Major called me and putting together a program and has seen post-traumatic winning. In fact, brought it to a unit he was in previously. And he said, hey, no, look, I'm a believer. He said, I've seen it. So again, that was a conversation, very cool. And then somebody who had heard about it and contacted me and said, hey, would you be willing to come back here? And I said, absolutely. The other interesting, and then from the Senate this morning, right, political news, out of the Senate Judiciary Committee comes the nomination for Amy Coney Barrett to be advanced to the full Senate. And sadly, for the nation, I say this, but Dianne Feinstein and the Democrats were nowhere in sight. They boycotted the vote. And so the optics of that. But striking, though, was evidently Senator Feinstein got wire brushed for being gracious to Senator Graham in terms of the way the hearing was conducted. And that is, let me tell you, that does not bode well for the democracy. And I don't care which way or which party that that sword swings. When you look at the implications for the democracy, they're not good. I say this all the time, but when you can't compromise, right, you have to look for votes, not under the long axis of the bell curve, but among the wackos on the fringes. And that's truly what empowers people like AOC and her kin on the right. There is no difference between them, in my opinion. They both have very narrow, extreme agendas, but because there can't be any compromise anymore, they get empowered and have a larger voice than they should. I mean, historically, they've been disregarded. But now, because people need them, because you can't compromise, then, you know, it is what it is. So, anyway, just the sad state of American politics, where you can't compromise. So that in the news today. And then probably the other story that has kind of a bit of a military twinge to it is a letter that the former United States Navy lieutenant, his name is Tony Bobulinski, who was on the two line of these emails that have been put out that, you know, supposedly were from Hunter Biden. Now, he's issued a statement, and I'll read it to you, which is pretty interesting in its entirety. My name is Tony Bobulinski. The facts set forth below are true and accurate. They are not any form of domestic or foreign disinformation. Any suggestion to the contrary is false and offensive. I am the recipient of the email published 7 days ago by the New York Post, which showed a copy to Hunter Biden and Rob Walker. The email is genuine. This afternoon, I received a request from the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs and the Senate Committee on Finance requesting all documents relating to my business affairs with the Biden family, as well as various foreign entities and individuals. I have extensive relevant records and communications, and I intend to produce those items to both committees in the immediate future. I am the grandson of a 37-year Army intelligence officer, the son of a 20-plus-year career naval officer, and the brother of a 28-year career naval flight officer. I myself served our country for 4 years and left the Navy as Lieutenant Bobulinski. I held a high-level security clearance and was an instructor and then a CTO for Naval Nuclear Power Training Command. I don't know what CTO is. Something officer, right? Command Technical Officer for Naval Nuclear Power Training Command. I'm not sure what CTO is. I have great pride in the time my family and I served this country. I am not a political person. What few campaign contributions I have made in my life were to Democrats. If the media and big tech companies had done their jobs over the past several weeks, I would be irrelevant in this story. Given my long-standing service and devotion to this great country, I could no longer allow my family's name to be associated or tied to Russian disinformation or implied lies and false narratives dominating the media right now. After leaving the military, I became an institutional investor, investing extensively around the world and on every continent. I've traveled to over 50 countries. I believe, hands down, we live in the greatest country in the world. What I am outlining is fact. I know it is fact because I lived it. I am the CEO of Sinohawk Holdings, which was a partnership between the Chinese operating through CEFC Chairman Yi and the Biden family. I was brought into the company to be the CEO by James Gilyear and Hunter Biden. The reference to the big guy in the much publicized May 13, 2017 email is in fact a reference to Joe Biden. The other JB referenced in that email is Jim Biden, Joe's brother. Hunter Biden called his dad the big guy, or my chairman, and frequently referenced him for his sign-off or advice on various potential deals that we were discussing. I've seen Vice President Biden saying he never talked to Hunter about his business. I've seen firsthand that that's not true, because it wasn't just Hunter's business. They said they were putting the Biden family name and its legacy on the line. I realized the Chinese were not really focused on a financially healthy ROI, which is the company that he was a CEO of. They were looking at this as a political or an influence investment. Once I realized that Hunter wanted to use the money as his personal piggy bank by just taking money out of it as soon as it came from the Chinese, I took steps to prevent that from happening. The Johnson report connected some of the dots in a way that shocked me. It made me realize the Bidens had gone behind my back and gotten paid millions of dollars by the Chinese, even though they told me that they hadn't and would not do that to their partners. I would ask the Biden family to address the American people and outline the facts so I can go back to being irrelevant. And so I am not put in a position to have to answer those questions for them. I don't have a political axe to grind. I just saw behind the Biden curtain, and I grew concerned with what I saw. The Biden family aggressively leveraged the Biden family name to make millions of dollars from foreign entities, even though some were from communist-controlled China. God bless America! Exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. Now, those pictures of that letter were published by Fox News correspondent John Roberts. He's our White House correspondent. So, from what I can tell, Twitter is not blocking that. Interestingly enough, it blocked the initial story. Now let me tell you, to me, what will be interesting, right? So the first thing is we all know and understand that the truth doesn't matter, right? It's the narrative. And so the job of the New York Times today, the job of CNN, is to bend this story to their narrative, so they will immediately cast it as a lie. and a political prank. Rudy Giuliani, you know, will be cast as somehow or other the orchestrator of this. And so, again, shaping the world to the narrative. Okay. The truth, again, remember, the truth is irrelevant to the media. And I'm not talking about just the left. It's irrelevant to Sean Hannity as well. It's bending the truth to fit the narrative. And so on the right, this will be accepted as fact. Now, I will tell you this. I mean, you're a fool if you believe in coincidences. I've said that on the show repeatedly. So the day of the second of the final debate here in, what, 2 weeks before the election, a little bit more than 2 weeks before the election, this letter shows up. And do you believe in coincidences? Now, maybe it is a coincidence and that this guy, former United States Navy Lieutenant Tony Bobulinski, with the family legacy he has, right? Maybe he did write this letter to preserve his family's honor and his own after being drugged into this. But you would have to be a fool not to cast a jaundiced eye to the timing of it. So, where do you go for honest reporting about it? Who do you believe? So, anyway, that probably the major story, the major story of the day so far. So it'll be interesting. The other thing that's happening, a bit of salacious news, is Jeffrey Epstein's accomplice. I don't even know how you say her first name. Ghislaine Maxwell? G-H? Ghislaine Maxwell? So her deposition has been unsealed, in which Jeffrey Epstein was accused of having minors brought out to his little island, right? And then on that island, you had, you know, now you have women saying that I was brought out there and as a minor and I was raped, and this is the woman who facilitated all that. Her deposition is 400 pages. So she lost an appeal earlier this week to keep that document sealed. She was charged by federal prosecutors in early June and taken into custody in early July and taken into custody for allegedly helping recruit minors as part of Jeffrey Epstein's criminal enterprise that he ran out on his island. So that is in the news this morning. The document, evidently, just seeing the initial reporting on it, is heavily redacted. Some of the names blacked out are Bill Clinton and Prince Andrew. So anyway, so that is in the news today. In hour two, interesting conversation about the relief of Major General Neary with Tim Lynch, Jeff Kenney, and Will Costantini. of all of us, I knew of, I think I first heard of him, and I wasn't at the basic school when Steve Neary was there. And as an instructor, I guess, I had already left. But Tim knows him from basic school. Will knows him of him, but not him personally. And Jeff knew him from the basic school, our time at the basic school as well. And so we talk about that. And the commandant's got a responsibility to protect the Marine Corps, but he also has a responsibility to do what's fair and right. And so we have a pretty interesting conversation about that. And I think you'll find it interesting. And is this an issue of Right. In the course of correcting somebody, you use that word. I think the Wall Street Journal has had the most accurate story that I've seen so far. He repeated a racial slur that was being played in music by Marines. And for that, he was relieved. So we have a pretty interesting conversation about that. We also talk about the paper you heard an interview on Tuesday about it. It's entitled The Fantasy of MCDP-1. So we talk about that. And that's stuff like closing the gap between being aspirational and also as opposed to being, how do I say it? You can have an aspirational document, or you can actually have a document that reflects actually what you do. And so we have an interesting discussion about that. And then on the tail end of that, we talk about Jim Collins a little bit. We all watched his speech, the Drucker Centennial speech. And then we have and I just brought it up because it was in my head. But we talk about Beirut, which what would it be, 17, the 37th anniversary of the Beirut bombing of the barracks. That happens tomorrow. So just as a refresher, Jeff and Will spent time in 8th Marines. And so 8th Marines was dotted with guys who had been, either there at the time or relieve those guys or whatnot. And then Tim went to Beirut after the barracks came down. So and we all have very, very vivid memories of it. And so you'll hear us discuss that as well. So it's interesting. The discussion relative to General Neary is an interesting one from a variety of different angles, and it's the Commandant's responsibility relative to the Marine Corps and public's perception. It's the fairness issue. It's this whole idea of a double standard, but it's okay to play that music. But if you correct some, so I play it out loud, I'm obviously endorsing it. I'm saying that this is okay. And how is that different than, in public, right, during work hours? How is playing that music different because that word is so divisive, right? And here, a general officer gets relieved using that word as he's correcting somebody about playing that music that contains that word. He's relieved for simply uttering the word, at least according to published reports. So that's the standard. All right. Then it means it doesn't have any place in the Marine Corps. It doesn't have any place near Marines when they work. And that, for you to consume that on a Marine Corps base, you better have a headset on. So anyway, pretty interesting little discussion about that. And how the Commandant, his job is to somehow or other ferret all that out. And in this day and age, it looks like what General Berger did was said, there's no way that I can get my X-Acto knife out and carve some kind of statement, some kind of course of action where General Neary continues to serve in his current capacity. So for the greater good, you have to leave. So again, I think you'll enjoy that. So good morning to you on a Thursday morning, the 22nd day of October, almost getting to November. And the United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. I think. Yes, good morning to you. We'll be right back. And this dedicated to, I just have been in my head since I started thinking about Beirut, but I did an interview that you'll hear tomorrow with a guy named Matt Gospodinovich. And when you hear him, he's just, he's a good old boy. He's a Southern guy. He's from Louisiana, got a great sense of humor. And he was in Beirut on, he's a Lance Corporal in 10th Marines. And he was in Beirut on October 23rd. We did that interview a couple years ago. And I want to say about a year ago, Gospo was killed in a car accident. And I don't know, it just makes me sad to think of it. When you think of Marines like Gospo, right, when you see pictures of him, he's a big guy, right, with that Southern thing and a big personality. And I don't know, you know, he died in a car accident late at night, and he was asleep, and the person driving lost control of the vehicle, and he was killed. And I don't know, it just makes me sad when I think about that. You know, and Beirut echoed in his life. If you'll hear the interview tomorrow again, but he struggled in the aftermath of Vietnam, like a lot of guys, aftermath of Vietnam, in the aftermath of Beirut, and struggled with life. And so you'll hear him talk about it. But this is dedicated to him and his memory, you to his friends, and I got some email from him. The word gospel was always like a little bit of, you know, magical tonic that, hey, gospel's here. He was one of those. And you see a picture of him in Beirut. He's got his black jacket on. He got his blouse off, so it's just his T-shirt. He's got his M16 in his hand, you know, posing for a picture, looking like a badass. Every bit as much as what, you know, the nickname gospel connotes. And that Louisiana draw. So this is dedicated to him and the Marines, the sailors, who not only became casualties or died in Beirut, but everybody who survived, their families, who've all dealt with the fallout low all these years. So this is dedicated to all of them.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Check the news, and then I'll share with you an email that Ohio Man just sent me. Things I didn't know. That, again, make you shake your head. And, you know, there was a time, day, and age where I would say, you know, that can't be true. I don't believe that. But I don't say that anymore, especially when it concerns the FBI. FBI in the same predicament that the United States Navy SEALs are. They've lost their way, it would seem, right? Anyway, currently in Quantico, where hopefully I'm going to head in about a week or so, it is cloudy and 65. Get a chance to see number two son, Patrick, too, and some other friends there. Partly sunny, 78, Marine Corps Base, Camp Lejeune, so warmed up down the coast a little bit. 29 Palms, cooler. Sunny in 67 right now. Camp Pendleton, clouds in 66. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy 73, pretty normal. Okinawa, dark raining in 73. Down under in Darwin, it is cloudy, dark in 81. And in Norway, it is. In Oslo, it is raining and 46 degrees for the second day in a row. Yeah, my oldest leaves the country with no instructions on how to contact him. So if anybody's in Norway and you see a kid, right, he has McNamara on him, Marine Corps captain, tell him, hey, you might want to send an email to your family and say how you can get in touch with you. So anyway. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I'll just share with you what Ohio Man sent me. Now, again, I try not to be a partisan on this program, okay? But the truth is important. And to me, we've watched the media become advocates in our country. And they hate Donald Trump, which is fine. He's imminently hateable, right? And then they would have you believe that Joe Biden is something different when he's not. They would have you believe Hillary Clinton is something different when she's not. And that's the game that gets played in our country by people who take an oath and then put their hand on the scale. And now that disease, not only is it, we've seen it in our government, but we see it in a daily basis in the media that covers these stories. The New York Times' immediate response, right, was obviously to get after Rudy Giuliani, right? Because that fits the narrative, right? To write stories about how news people in the New York Post newsroom, they disagree with this and they believe that the Post is wrong in publishing this story. Yeah, you can imagine the newsroom in the New York Post today. They're hoisting the big fuck you flag over the top of their building in New York City, right? And shooting lasers at the New York Times building saying, hey, check this out, man. Fuck you guys. So the truth, right? The truth. I don't know that we deal with it very much in the United States anymore, and certainly difficult to find. But anyway, I'll share with you an email here. But interesting day in American politics. And again, what do you make of this surfacing on the day of the night of the final debate before the presidential election? And if this stuff is true, right? Which Democrats will poo-poo and say it's not true, right? If you read the initial email, the original email lays out that 10%, right? So the email that the Post published 8 days ago from a different partner in the group laid out cash and equity positions and mysteriously included a 10% set aside for, quote, the big guy. and so it goes. Anyway, more of Almer and Radio coming up next.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back, and that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Now, I told you about an email I received Saturday morning telling me, please, please, you know, Mac, such an idiot, please read this story by General Kelly about what a flawed human being that Donald Trump is. I mean, after watching Donald Trump, who doesn't know that? But here's what I marvel at. The same person that will send you that doesn't believe Joe Biden's cut from the same bolt of cloth. Right? Donald Trump is this anomaly. Hillary Clinton isn't cut from the same bolt of cloth. Although by all indications, she's the one that conceived, right, paid for, and launched all that has taken place. Right? But she's not a piece of shit. Give me a break. Whose name is prominent in the redactions this morning as whatever, Ms. Maxwell, Ghislaine, however you say her name? Bill Clinton. He's not a piece of shit. He's a beloved politician. Probably not going to be doing a lot of campaigning for Joe Biden, though, huh? So anyway, yeah. And that's until people say, look, if you're playing in that game at that level, right, you're probably a piece of shit. Oh, Donald Trump's a bigger piece of shit. All right, I guess we could have that discussion. But not until you could admit that they're all swimming in the same cesspool. And that's what blows me away. They will look at you and they'll shake your head and they'll say no. Right? So, to me, Joe Biden now has been being painted as a liar. And will he address it? He attacked a reporter that said this is simply Rudy Giuliani smear shit. Right? And that's the game, right? Admit nothing, deny everything, make counter accusation. That's the game we play. Bill Clinton played it with Monica Lewinsky. He was lying the whole time. Yeah. Lying the whole fucking time. In public. To the American people. I did not have anything to do. Oh, tell you what. Why would I quote it when I could play it? Right? Because it's so rich. Right? He gets pissed. And that's the way you play this game. And that's the game, evidently, Joe Biden seems to be playing. It's the game Donald Trump plays. But the delusional people, in my opinion, that it's those people that don't believe they're both capable of these things that enable this fucked up system that we have in our country today. Oh, my guy would never do it, but your guy would.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again.
He's fucking scolding people, and he's lying the whole time. I mean, it's amazing. Listen.
But I want to say one thing to the American people.
Hold on. And he pounds the podium at the end, which is great.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Pounding the podium. Oh, what would you call the oral sex event then, Mr. President? Oh, well, that's not sexual relations.
But I want to.
It's awesome, right? But this is the fucking game that they play. And the problem in our country is we have people that are Republicans and Democrats who say our guy wouldn't do that. Yours would, though. And until we get to a point where we say, hey, they're all like that, so what is a system that works for everybody, right? Then we will play this burn-it-down fucking game where you can't compromise, where Dianne Feinstein is ridiculed and is going to be excoriated and then removed from her position as, you know, the ranking member and vice chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee because she said that Lindsey Graham ran the hearing well. You can't do that in public. That's against the resistance. That's where we're at in our country now. And Chuck Schumer called her in evidently this week and had a very, very frank conversation with her. And now Dianne Feinstein's on board because she didn't attend the hearing this morning when Judge Barrett's nomination was forwarded to the full Senate. So thank God she's on board again. But so that's not even being bipartisan. That's just being courteous. That's even verboten now, verboten, however you pronounce it in German, right? And so, and this is that. This is the game we fucking play with this democracy. And where is it taking us as a nation? It's not taking us to a good place. But the truth doesn't matter. The narrative matters. The video matters. The truth doesn't matter.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
It's a theatrical stunt, and it's a fucking lie. And that's the president of the United States right there. Beloved Bill Clinton. Right? Beloved Bill Clinton. Yeah, he would never do anything wrong. The Clinton Foundation was totally legit. Right? It's all bullshit, man. It's all bullshit. Let me read you the email from Ohio, man. Now, I will absolutely be candid with you. Ohio man's a conservative, right? And he can charter the black helicopter sometime. So he writes this about the laptop. If I'm following the timeline correctly, the FBI has had the laptop since December of 2019. What? The repair dude kept a copy of the hard drive. Not sure how Rudy Giuliani got involved But sure, that's the political side of it. The FBI sat on the laptop while the House impeached Trump over the Ukrainian phone call. We've seen the video of Joe Biden bragging to a crowd, threatening to withhold U.S. financial aid if the prosecutor looking into Burisma wasn't fired, which he was, which is pretty much exactly what they accused Trump of attempting to do. I'm not exactly sure what business of it is of the Vice President of the United States in the internal affairs of another nation about an investigation. What business of that is the United States, let alone the Vice President? I don't know. Meanwhile, the media does their level best to kill this story and protect Biden. That's a fact. Hunter got a Navy commission via some obscure program for the politically connected. He got thrown out of the Navy for failing a piss test. He was taken to court for not paying child support to the stripper he knocked up while he was dating his brother's widow. The media never mentions this stuff. Now imagine if Donald Trump Jr. had done these things. Yeah, you don't want to be around for that. Adam Housley, former Fox News reporter, now runs a family winery in the Napa Valley. He's been keeping track of all this on Twitter and is an excellent follow. He's got some very good contacts. He's been right on the mark as these things progress, as well as the Durham investigation. The emails don't lie. If it walks like a duck, yeah, no, hey. But again, that's not the game that gets played in this country. Now, I mean, if you're a Democrat, this is your nightmare, right? Joe Biden gets outed for being Joe Biden, right? The Republican criticism, you know, Karl Rove's criticism of Donald Trump in the first debate. Quit interrupting Biden. He'll kill himself. He always does. Okay, but again, that's the political part of this. I don't really give a shit about that. What I care about is a consistent assassination of the truth and how difficult it is to get to the truth in this country. Because the media have become advocates. And their news divisions, right, as the New York Times did yesterday, printing stories, trying to discredit the New York Post and this story. That's what their reporters did. I'll tell you, here's another story I saw. The New York Times killed a story in 2006 on who's the Chief Justice? John Roberts. They investigated how he adopted his kids. Is that a news story? The Roberts family is, by all accounts, a functioning, happy family. New York Times reporters went to investigate the adoption of his kids. And the managing editor, the news guy, killed the story of the New York Times, saying, look, that is not a subject of the news. They didn't kill the one that people just did on the way that the Barrett's adopted their children. Didn't kill that story. And that's the game, right? Assassinate it. And so, again, it's a pathetic world that we live in right now. And if you're just looking for the truth so that you can make up your mind, again, the thing that I find consistently crazy is that people believe that their side, right, their side isn't capable of this stuff, but your side is, right? I find it stunning. Some news, Stars and Stripes. Virus shutdown took a grim toll on amputee veterans who died by suicide, according to their families. As coronavirus restrictions unfurled a dangerous mix of depression and anxiety, the scourge of suicide cut through a tiny community of amputee veterans in recent months, claiming at least three in a group where isolation is already a potential risk factor. Not long before he took his own life, Marine Corps veteran Rory Hamill posted a photo of himself on a stoop, bearing his alloy leg as he stared defiantly. Nearly a decade earlier, Hamill was on his second tour in Afghanistan, leading junior Marines on a patrol in the violent Taliban citadel of Marja. His heel burrowed into the mud and onto a pressure plate bomb, thrusting him into the air and severing his right leg. His life became a blur of surgeries and recovery, and in moments of darkness he had contemplated ending it all, he later said. But Hamill renewed his spirits as a motivational speaker and advocate for other veterans, many of whom became part of a legion of social media followers drawn to his gritty determination. His post on April 11th had a different tone. Quote, "My own personal hell has been reignited. This pandemic, although viral in nature, alludes to what happened to us as human beings when we are stripped of our outlets and are deprived of our ability to socialize." He died 2 weeks later at the age of 31. Let me read you this post. The title of it is "These Are the Times That Try Men's Souls." For the past month or so, I've sat back and watched human beings make sense of the world's current predicament and how it correlates to and affects their daily lives. I've watched many attempts to make sense of all this, inspire their peers across a variety of platforms, justify everything they perceive as they see fit. I've watched multi-million dollar earning business owners blast their inspirational speeches and give their tools of motivation. I've watched actual entrepreneurs, to include some of my closest and dearest friends, suffer as they watch their dreams get suffocated by the current state of affairs and all of its ironies. I've observed and listened to all the loudest men and women in the room tout their recipe for success only to succumb to the gravity of our current hardships with a parting whisper. There is a harsh reality that most of us have finally realized that transcends our current socioeconomic environment, one that many, though still afflicted, shrug off because of stubbornness. Stubbornness that they ignore, that they pretend doesn't exist outside their small bubble in their day-to-day lives. Yes, we've all been stymied during what should have been a period of growth, springtime, a source of a new beginning and hope. Coming out of the ever-inevitable depression and seclusion of winter, this following season seems to be some cruel universal joke played upon us as a species. Compounding these present set of circumstances, there are those of us who live in the grips of mental illness or injury, living in a veritable prison of sadness, fear, devastation, and utter agony, day in and day out. I began writing this at 3:46 this morning, April 19th, 2020. I've been drunk on red wine since the previous night. I haven't slept. I haven't stopped suffering. My own personal hell has been reignited in the light of present circumstances affecting us all. This pandemic, although viral in nature, alludes to what happens to us as human beings when we are stripped of our outlets and are deprived of our ability to socialize. The reasons, the article goes on, the reasons for suicide are complex and not always known to those left behind, often involving mental health issues, alcohol and substance abuse, financial issues, or relationship troubles. But family and friends of the veterans said that they believe isolation triggered by the pandemic played a role in the three deaths. Well, let me tell you, somebody should send them to post-traumatic winning, right? The men had found second acts by doing things like helping fellow veterans, public speaking, returning to school. Those pursuits, which helped them rediscover purpose and mission, ended abruptly for each of them and accelerated those veterans into tragedy, friends and family said in an interview with the Washington Post. Andy McCaffrey, a former Army Green Beret who lost his arm in a 2003 explosion in Afghanistan, help keep his post-traumatic stress in check by being active in championing veteran causes, according to his brother Steve. But the pandemic scuttled nearly everything that kept him going. Not having that problem probably killed him as much as anything else. People with traumatic amputations have higher levels of anxiety and depression, according to a spokesman for Walter Reed National Military Medical Center, where amputee service members and veterans have received physical and mental care, health care. But the hospital doesn't record suicides among former patients, many of whom frequent it for years to repair artificial limbs or to receive new ones. So it's a pretty long article. It ends like this. The most confusing thing I can't wrap my head around is why. And this is from the sister of somebody who committed suicide. He promised me he'd be okay, but he wasn't. So, yeah, post-traumatic winning, man. I would recommend that to you. So that's the top story in Stars and Stripes about suicide and what this isolation has done. And so for everybody out there, if you don't think that, as I say in the presentation, the facing movement to the door that leads to destructive behavior is isolation. That's the facing movement. If you don't isolate yourself, you can get through anything. But we believe that nobody else can understand us. In this case, COVID, right? A sense of forced isolation, right? Forced isolation. So that's the top story. North Korea is poised to test the next U.S. president with a growing nuclear missile threat. Next headline, VA officials refuse to participate in Senate hearing on landmark veteran health care law. Officials at the Department of Veterans Affairs declined to participate Wednesday in a Senate hearing about the progress in implementing the Mission Act, a law passed 2 years ago to help improve mission care for veterans. How, if you're part of somebody's administration, do you refuse a Senate? Right? How do you do that? I'm not sure how that works. Interesting. Another Stars and Stripes story. Removal of fired USS Theodore Roosevelt commander's name from a plaque causes an uproar. So if you've been fired, does that mean you weren't the CO? I think you were the CO, right? NATO troops were wounded in an IED blast in Afghanistan. That in the news. The top stories in Wall Street Journal this morning. Final presidential debate, what time to watch, and the key issues. Next story, Afghan government airstrike targeting Taliban kills 12 children as peace talks stall. Yeah, I would, like most things, right? Like most things, what you see is you see these things like the initial overture, then everybody does political posturing, then we go back and forth, and then after that, after the back and forth, they walk away, and then they kind of put it together, and then there's a deal struck. And so I would expect the same. This will not be short negotiations, and then we're going to have a big parade. One more interesting story. Google's opponents want additional enforcement actions. They want Google to be prohibited from essentially bribing companies like Apple, right, and then any Android phone providers, to having their phones come with a certain app that controls your search engine behavior. Okay, they want people to have to choose that. And again, Google controls 92% of the search traffic on the planet. How about that? I mean, you got to tip your hat to them. Well done. Whatever the hell they're doing, either legally or illegally, right? When you control 90%, 92% of anything, you've done all right. You've done all right. Headlines from USNI News. Interesting story. Let me see if it's in here. Thomas Modrey, right? The former Secretary of the Navy. Is that his name? Modley? Modley, I think. He was in the news yesterday. Modley, SECNA. All right. He was in the news yesterday calling the Force 2045 bullshit. Yeah. Yeah, here it is. This is an article in Forbes. Former Navy leader Tom Modley opens fire on Battle Force 2045. Modley is still irked by Secretary of Defense Esper's decision to take the shipbuilding plant away from the Navy in February. Modley issued a characteristically candid on-record statement via email. What we now have is simply a proclamation with no details about a 500-ship Navy by 2045, without a national consensus and the corresponding funding for it. That number is meaningless, and the time frame is strategically irrelevant. And then he offers a glimpse. It's a pretty long article in Forbes. It concludes like this: Modley expressed concern that while the Chinese and the Russian navies continue to build and expand their fleets, aggressively challenging ours without pause, we, time and again, waste more time with studies that conclude essentially the same thing and only differ on the margins, while we fail to create the political impetus for the funding the Navy needs to grow. Concluding his statement, Modley reemphasized his often articulated concern that, quote, settling on a number that would not be in place for decades is a fool's errand. While we need a North Star to build towards, we need to develop a process to continually iterate the numbers as we experiment with new concepts and adapt to changes in geopolitics. Locking in on a number today that would not be achieved for 25 years is more political than pragmatic. Wow. Yeah, so Modley in the news. That's kind of interesting. You don't see him much anymore. So I thought USNI News would have something on that. There's an article in USNI News that says SecDef Esper's Battle Force Plan 2045 still awaiting White House approval. Let me just see if they reference Modley's criticism of it. Adam Smith, Senate Armed Service. No mention of Modley's criticism. Interesting. Top story in Marine Corps Times today is General Neary is firing. Mishap milestone. Navy and Marine Corps had zero fatal aviation mishaps in fiscal year 2020. I'll tell you what. You talk about the bad, you ought to talk about the good. So, congratulations to the Marine Corps and the Navy. No fatal aviation mishaps. Now, that's not to say there wasn't a whole slew of Class A mishaps. But yeah, no fatalities. I mean, come on. That's a no bullshit achievement. So congratulations on that deal. Top five stories in Early Bird, and then you'll hear the Mensa brothers. If you missed the earlier part of this, you'll hear them talking about, one, the relief of Major General Neary, who I think all three of them know. And then, two, a article entitled The Fantasy of MCDP-1. And then, three, a speech given by Jim Collins. And, four, Beirut, the 37th anniversary tomorrow of the barracks being destroyed with all the resultant loss of life. So that we'll talk about that here in just a couple minutes. Let me go through top five stories in Early Bird today real quick for you. Number one, U.S. State Department approves a $1.8 billion arms deal with Taiwan, according to the Pentagon. Number two, SecDef Esper's Battle Force 2045 plan still awaiting White House approval. Thomas Modley ridiculed the plan. Number three, NATO. Yeah, you can find that in Forbes. NATO's defense spending targets now the gold standard all allies should meet, according to a key Trump administration official. Jens Stoltenberg, the CEO of NATO, whatever we call them, Secretary General of NATO. I don't know if we call him that. But anyway, that guy, he very proudly listed the number of countries that have now hit that 2% mark. Notably, though, Germany isn't even close to it. Number the freeloading, Germany, that doesn't want the United States to leave Germany. Don't leave us. Wait, the fight's further east, bro. Poland, Lithuania, the Ukraine. What do we need you for? How about a precondition for us keeping some things there is hit your 2% and stand up the German military and stop being the enabler of Russia on the continent? How about those preconditions? No? All right, fuck off. Oops, did I say that? I think I just meant to think it. Anyway, number four, quote, a big fight coming over the defense budget if Dems sweep the election, according to lawmakers. Number five, top U.S. general in Afghanistan says he's holding back to give the Taliban peace deal a chance. U.S. forces in Afghanistan are doing their best to keep an agreement to reduce violence, their commander told the BBC in a segment that aired yesterday, including opting not to go on the offensive in some cases. Now, that is from U.S. Army General Scott Miller, who commands U.S. forces in Afghanistan. So that is a quick look at the news. Well, maybe not so quick. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, on the back side of that break, the Mensa brothers will do what they do. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.